This episode and a lot of the other content we produce would not be possible without the kind support of our patrons, especially our producers, Holly and Leanne. Thanks for your kindness. You can become a patron at patreon.com/explorations. That's Patreon, patreon.com/explorations. So I want to talk about my underwear.
You didn't say welcome.
Well, I know, but you did.
You didn't do the whole spiel.
Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson.
We're not sure who just joined us over there.
Coming to you live from upstairs studios with Lisa Murphy and some hippy-dippy chick. And I mean hippy-dippy chick in the kindest...
In the lovingest way as
kindest,
possible.
Lovingest use of the hippy-dippy chip term. So we're talking
about hippy-dippy chip.
We're talking about change. No, that's cool. We're talking about change, and I wanted to talk about this topic because I've recently changed
my underwear.
No, seriously. I mean,
explain the way you change brands.
It's been a bigger change than just brand. And I changed the actual pair this morning.
Good. Yes.
And but I
I like to do laundry, so he better change.
I got to sit back for this. So I grew up with the tidy whities because when you're growing up, you buy what you wear, what your mama buys you, right? And so you got the tidy whities, the Hanes,
and then
it moved into the boxers,
right? Yeah,
I think there went through a jockey phase for a while because it was like
the 80s or the 90s.
And late 80s, early 90s.
I remember those too.
Yeah, and then it moved into the boxer briefs, which is a great mix of the boxer and the brief because you get the
boxer briefs.
You get the package control of the briefs with the comfort of the boxers, and that's where I've been for 20 years or so.
Okay.
And now I changed.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah, that long. I mean, Tyler's life. But now they've come out with new men's underwear technology.
Technology.
Not electronic.
It's
technology.
Yes, I'm wearing
underwear. Is technology?
I'm wearing electronic vibrating underwear right now, and I got to tell you, no, that's not what it is.
This episode.
So I'm always smiling. No, the thing is, they've come up with it's kind of the whole Under Armour thing. It's a variation of the boxer brief that are more compression. And I found as I've aged another 20 years from when I moved into the boxer brief, and this is probably more than some of you want to know.
I've had to
hear you guys all talk about too much. We did an episode on hot flashes, for God's sake.
Okay.
So we can talk about we can talk about my underwear for a couple minutes. And so all I'm saying is I got a pair of these and tried them out, and the package is well maintained after a long up on your feet all day, and so I've made the switch, and I'm feeling great. I'm more productive. I'm happier. Life is good.
I want to know what. What's the new technology? Like firmer elastic?
It's a spandexy kind of thing.
Would you like to see?
Are they like boxer brief?
They're like boxer brief cut.
Yeah.
Not quite as many. Well, actually, more seams, but seams in less.
They remind me of like running shorts.
Okay.
Less frictiony places.
Or biking shorts.
Under Armour compression shorts.
Yeah.
It's kind of that thing, and so it's great.
With the wicking, so there's no sweat.
Yeah.
Buildup.
Yeah. There's no sweaty ball thing going on.
Sweaty balls.
And I gotta say, it's more than any of you ever wanted to know about my underwear situation, but
at least we know you wear underwear.
Well, there you go. As far as you know, what other changes have you been involved in?
Well, I had a hot flash, so I'm clearly going through the change.
And that you have to look back in the catalog because that was a whole episode of
Bikram
Lisa.
The bed.
Lisa Murphy was having
yeah.
she
Did
had
I
to take her
then?
Boots on. We had to.
When I Bikrammed the bed.
Yes. I don't know if you use that term, but yeah.
That's
yeah.
what we call it now. When you wake up so sweaty that it's like somebody like hosed you down.
Yep.
And, and Tom Murphy wakes up and is like, "Oh my God!" And
Did
then
you pee
he,
the bed?
It's more than pee because it's from head to toe and it's. Nasty and it's
changes.
I didn't even know you had that much water in you. changing your mind is really important.
Yeah,
allowing yourself the flexibility to change your mind. As somebody at this point in my professional trajectory of PD and professional development and learning and stuff, I think the minute that I wake up and think I don't have anything else I need to know is the day that I should quit this profession. I've started using the soup analogy because, like the soup that maybe you've been cooking, just follow me for a minute. The soup has probably been good, but if there's now a new ingredient that maybe somebody discovered you should add to your soup, then maybe I need to play with that a little bit and to not be so resistant to be like, but this is the way we've always made our soup.
It. Yeah.
You know, and to the even to the soup, you know, comparison, maybe you were using a little too much salt and now maybe we know you don't need that much salt. So, you know, so maybe it doesn't mean that your soup, and I think that's the point that I try to make with people when I'm mentoring is that it's not, nobody's trying to take your soup away from you, but we're just saying that as somebody who's in charge of feeding the soup to other people, you kind of have a responsibility to make sure it's the best possible soup that it can be. So if we've learned that there's some new things that should be added to our recipe, I think we have a responsibility to investigate that. And if there's something that we've been adding that maybe we were focused a little too much on that maybe we can pull back a little bit on, I think we got to do that too.
What would that ingredient be? I'm imagining it being for your soup, I'm imagining it being a new spice that they discovered.
Like brain researchers.
Oh, no. I'm really talking about soup. Like a new spice called Yummy Yum or something. And then you add it, and then just a teaspoon makes the soup yummier.
Yeah, well, possibly. I would, you know, I buy that.
And try some Yummy Yum.
Some Yummy Yum in your soup. Or maybe the new ingredient is just that you actually tasted the soup for the first time in a while.
First time. I mean, you've been making it for 15 years every weekend.
You've never tasted it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I mean that's
yeah.
we could milk this soup analogy.
Oh yeah.
You know, if it's been a while since you've sat down and tasted what you've been serving up, yeah, that's I think that reflection component that we talk about a lot.
Yeah, and I mean the whole idea of change is.
And if you don't want to eat that soup, and you know you don't want to eat that soup, then why the hell
are you making it and serving it to other people? The whole change thing is challenging in a lot of ways and sometimes scary. I saw a recent Lisa Murphy change that I experienced and was part of. Lisa Murphy
asked for help.
Yes.
And that was and with a very I do this on my own, very thank you very much kind of thing. And the Lisa Murphy I've known for a couple years now a year and a half ago it wouldn't have happened. And
no.
Can we tell the story?
So I recently and what month? Okay, because I mean it's not a big secret that we record and release.
This was released in early December.
Early December. So 6 months ago, for the people who are listening right now, which meanwhile it was 2 days ago. I was wrapping up the last thing of a year long of extra things that I agreed to. In addition to the speaking and the writing and all of that kind of stuff, I agreed to do 6 extra things. And the last one, I've been pretty transparent about this. It caused me a little bit of anxiety because it was some stuff out of my comfort zone. I was very excited about it. And you know, hindsight 2020, it went very well. It was very successful. It was a 2-day gig for kindergarten teachers and then a 2-day gig for K1-4, and it ended up being 5, 6, 7, 8 teachers. And the day 1 and 2 was in one location and day 3 and 4 was in a separate location. And I had shipped 5 boxes of loose parts materials, kind of a la Dr. Drew and Marchanel, wanted to do kind of a free flow exploration of manipulatives and how you can use loose parts and creative materials to do math and to do science and to do art, et cetera, et cetera. So at the end of day 1, I'm looking around the room and I'm going, you know, shit, how the hell am I going to deal with getting all of this from point A to point B? And then day 2, I don't remember if I got in touch with you after day one or the morning of day two.
Oh, it's the night after.
It was day one.
Yeah.
Right?
Day one, yes.
That
evening.
I was at dinner by myself, and I think I texted and said, hey, I think I got I think I have a favor I might need to ask you.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very tentative.
Very, yes, yes. Very like, you know, like touching debating. With the stick.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to need some help tomorrow packing all of this up and then driving it down to the next venue and then resetting it up and I'll take you to dinner, like sweeten the pie. You can't just ask for help. You got to like, you know, sweeten it.
There's a bonus.
And
you know, but the thing is, you could ask for help and I would have taken you to dinner.
You could have
got help and dinner out of it.
And I even made a kind of a joke about it the next day, which was, you know, all of this stuff is now set out and, you know, I pushed myself out of my comfort zone. And I think that's important because, I mean, the whole kind of day for day two with the teachers was, how are you pushing yourself out of your comfort zone to do what needs to happen for this program to be in the best possible program it can be? And for me, quite honestly, on day two, to be the best possible person I could be for day three was to not be at that same venue until midnight.
For 3 hours,
you know,
cleaning up afterwards.
Cleaning it all up. So I asked them and they came by and I made mention of it during the gig. And I'm like, you know, and I hesitated and, you know, and I even joked that Jeff was like, so how long did you stare at the phone before you actually picked up the phone and called? Because, you know, I might have only known you a couple of years, but it's been a condensed kind of knowledge and I know you. And anyway, the point of the story is that they showed up, of course, graciously, just as I would if they called to me. And it actually brought up an interesting conversation, I think even, I don't even remember when, but about how sometimes the things we personally struggle with are things that we would laugh about if somebody told us that they were struggling with it, because we were like, duh, it's a no-brainer. Of course, if I'm here and available, of course they would come and help you. So why are we all like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know why, you know, change, pushing yourself, I don't, you know,
we why? Build, I think we build a lot of that stuff, we build it into these big structures in our heads, and we just make them into these giant help.
Yeah. I can do this by myself. Yes. Meanwhile, I'm sitting on the floor crying, you know, and rocking back and forth.
I need an adult. I need an adult. I did, however, probably don't remember too much, but I got to help you the first time we get out to dinner. I got to help you clean up a little bit.
Oh, did you?
I didn't get to. I got to lift the totes onto the six-wheel cart.
Okay. And is that, that's when we had the cart races?
Yeah, in Des Moines. And so I didn't get to touch anything. You made it very clear, I know where everything goes, just wait, and we'll go to dinner. And I stood back because, you know, I'm kind of lazy anyway, so I was really happy not to be putting stuff in totes.
He knows enough not to. But I went away and said, don't touch my stuff.
Tosh told me that just a little bit ago. We got the stuff loaded up. We got stuff loaded up, and then we had cart races.
We had cart races.
Yeah, we had cart races in that big open convention space, which
that was really cool.
Was
and
good
that,
time
that man, there was a man who
like
was
some
the boss
union
of
guy
the cart
or something
who was watching us with a stern eye.
Yeah, because somebody could have lost a finger or toe or something.
Or a squirrel. I think you had dead stuff in your bag.
Probably.
That was the first night I think I had dinner with you when you pulled a dead squirrel out of the bag, and my sister's just been so infatuated with you ever since.
Well, I do know what the lady's like.
He says that quite often. It's like, really? Really?
Truthfully, I have no idea what the lady's like. This would be a great comment topic for the Facebook page. What do the ladies like?
Please chime in. What do the ladies like?
Change. It's hard.
It can be.
And sometimes we make it, it can be hard, and sometimes we make it harder than it has to be.
Well, the first thing that has to be acknowledged is that you have to first be aware that something has to change. And if you are in that spot, and Jenny Chapman, who's out of Vancouver, and full disclosure, I haven't connected with her in a long time, and I'm hoping that she's still out there doing her amazing work. She shared a handout with us at a conference one time that she gave me permission to reprint in my Ooey Gooey book. So in my first book, Jenny Chapman's Cycle and Circle of Change is actually in that book as a resource, a visual, if anybody wants it. And the first thing is that you have to acknowledge that you're currently doing something that needs to be changed. Where I think that meeting them where you are component is that you might spend a day there, an hour there, a week there, a month there. And when you're done, then you realize you got to then take that next step.
Time to do something.
And then you start doing something about it. And what I've always told my teachers and my staff and the people that I work with is that if you came apart and became a part of our team when you were like over here, say with Laminated Lady, and you knew that my program was going to expect you to be over here on the other side of that, you're going to, it's going to take a while for you to find whatever that balance is for you. And what they all knew is that as long as I saw motion and movement and conversation and inquisitiveness and a willingness to keep moving, I would meet you continually wherever you were on that transition. The minute, though, that I thought you were done, that you thought it was too hard, that you were not wanting to do it, that you didn't think you needed to do it, that's when I would get involved as an administrator. You know, when my expectations are clear and you're moving towards it, I can be very patient. But if you kind of drag and start dragging your heels, that's going to be a different plate of potatoes. So Jenny actually, and I wish I had a copy of the book. Actually, you do have a copy of the book, but it's you have to acknowledge, then you start to implement whatever it is that you think is going to be the antidote to where you were. And usually there's some resistance, and often the resistance is from the people who didn't attend the workshop that you went to or didn't read the book or are just not ready. And then you push through that, and then it becomes a part of your practice, again, a week, a month, 2 weeks, and then you start to notice this second thing that might need to come under some modification or some change. And changing your mind is a long process, but also what I can tell you from my own experience is that once you take that first step into changing your mind and being the best possible way you could be for kids, it's almost impossible to go back to the way you used to do it. And it's not a beating self up. Is that, I mean, I think that needs to be acknowledged. It's not like, oh my God, I used to line them up with a tape roll. I did, you know, and a lot of us did. And I don't beat myself up because at that time, that's all I knew. And then I started learning other things and I changed my mind and made it a part of my practice. And now you just keep moving on.
We kind when of you make do, for, consistent forward motion. Is call, what we
always.
For.
But what I'll say, and this is a lot to your work with burnout and stuff, is that the only time I see people who've done serious good work to move themselves forward, the only time I see them default back to what they knew first is when they're tired, they're stressed, they're burnt out, and other shit is going on. And even though they've done all that work to move them ahead, your body will pull you back when you're not able to say, no, stop, wait, this is not, we don't go here.
Yeah, well, this is we're all three-year-olds. I mean, you're three and a half and you're completely potty trained until baby sister is born, and then you're not potty trained anymore because you're anxious and you're scared and you're frustrated. And so we all have that fall back to a previous version of ourselves situation every once in a while. I think with the burnout stuff is huge, because if you are constantly giving yourself to other people and never to yourself, it is a big
drain your dry,
big hairy monster of a mess to implement positive change in your life. If you've always put yourself on the back burner, it's big work to pull yourself to the front burner once in a while. And there's a lot of slippage there. You slip back to those old habits really easy.
And it's probably also very frustrating then when you hear people say, you got to take care of yourself. And on some level, full disclosure, if you don't have a handle on what that might look like, to be told 49 times at a training to take care of yourself, and you're like, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, and that's in the
session. Now you're setting me up for that much more frustration.
Yeah. And in the sessions I do, we talk about this a lot, is that the need that your change has to be your change. So now the first thing you have to do, like you talk about change, you need to acknowledge that there needs to be a change. First, we have to acknowledge that there is a different version of ourselves we want to create, and figure out what our change looks like before we can make it happen. Because, you know, what helps somebody decompress and de-stress and get some balance back in their life for one person is going to be completely different for the next person. So you've got to own that and find it in yourself.
Talk to me, Jeff, about when you have staff member A and B who co-teach in a program or work together in a program, and staff member A is ready and staff member B is not.
Oh, you just fire them both and start over again. No,
put yourself in the position of the person who is ready to be like, wow, you know what? I've been doing some research or reading, not even research, but like, you know, I've really been starting to think that I don't really think that some of these things that we do is in the best interest of kids. I'm ready to start changing my mind, but you've got a co-teacher.
That's like an anchor.
Or a director.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's like...
Or a licensing consultant.
Who says
or,
no.
Yeah, yeah. And so you're feeling like you're pulling
the
that...
The only one.
You're the only one there, and you're fighting a battle on your own, and you're pulling dead weight. But then you gotta go to the mind of that other person. They're feeling vulnerable and attacked and threatened because this is the way I've done things.
And
I'm
embarrassed
yeah,
that
they weren't
didn't
the one
notice.
To do it. And I'm comfortable with this, and I know this, and change is different, and different is uncomfortable and scary, and I'm not ready for that. And so there's all kinds of messy dynamics that come up in programs.
I'm not sure if we ever look at this topic through the lens of what you just said. I'm not sure if we ever kind of give a nod to the other person. I think we often incorrectly assume that the other person is resistant because they're stubborn and don't acknowledge some of the other emotion. This is the first time I've ever thought of it in that manner.
We just grew as a podcast.
We grew. Aww. We changed.
It'll
allow me to be more empathetic.
It's a thing, and it's something we don't think about a lot. Apparently, it's getting dark enough that
the bug girl
coming
will come
out.
And the citronella. We're gonna have to
change
Thank
something.
Thank you.
We're going to have to change something so that we don't get eaten by bugs.
No, we're gonna send a telepathy to Tasha and say thank you for beep, getting beep, the witch beep, stick. Beep,
beep. Hickey chip.
Hickey chick. Whoa.
Hickey chick. and so we want to make change.
I might
be a little nicer to the laminating ladies?
Well, I'm always willing to meet them where they are, but I've never, ever stopped to think about it the way you just vocalized
it.
It can be a
scary thing. And so, but if you're that person that wants to make change, you acknowledge there's change that needs to be made. You take the baby steps. That's a big part of it. What else can we advise? Having a support group, having some form of support, somebody that's got your back, or a group of people that got your back, because change is it's uncomfortable. Except for my new underwear, they're incredibly comfortable. Change is uncomfortable until you build that new habit, and I mean, change is really rewiring our habits.
Well, I also think that. Is it change that we feel we instigated, or is it change that we feel is being
thrust upon us? Yeah, and I mean, that's what that person resistant in the room, that's the position they can come at it a lot too, is they're feeling this change is being forced upon me. And a lot of times when we have that happen, we dig in our heels.
Of course.
And because that's just a human thing, and want to hold our ground and protect our territory or our
idea.
What
was a big change that you made during your career kind of? Trajectory. I love that word. I've said it six times today.
I love trajectory. I feel like a missile. Well, I mean, the walking in and quitting the center after 16 years was a big change. The biggest one was being brave enough to volunteer to do my first presentation and, you know, throwing up in my own mouth because I'm so freaking nervous. But you got to do, that's another thing that the part of the change. You got to do the damn scary thing sometimes in life. The uncomfortable thing. You were talking as we got started about the four-day thing you did, and you ruminated and
oh,
were
for a
all,
year,
all up in your head about that
for
a long time, and we do that to ourselves and get all up in our own heads, and
why
it's hard. I hear from caregivers that do this all the time to themselves when there is a staff person they've got to have that hard conversation about with something, or the parent they've got to talk to about their bill or about the biting or whatever it is, and they put those things off because they're so scary and uncomfortable.
We don't know
where
it's going to go.
And then they do it, and it's like, well, that went better than I expected. And I think
that's what I said on Thursday evening.
Yeah, absolutely. And so. Post on the Bar and Grill Facebook page. What are you changing? What are the roadblocks you find to change? What baby step are you involved in your biggest newest change?
What's
process?
Our time? Can I jump in here?
Oh,
for
we
a
can
second?
Do whatever we want. It's our podcast.
Well, I will. I would like to maybe take this opportunity to at least let the new people know that one of the reasons why I don't. Well, not this year. This year was the summer of workshop after workshop after workshop. But typically in July and December, I don't travel. And I like to take that time to turn inward and kind of make sure that we're still doing what we need to do. Are we saying what we still believe in? Have we gotten in the habit of saying stuff? And to the change topic, I through the course of the year, we'll keep a file. And right now, it's growing and growing and growing. It's about this high right now. And usually in December now, I kind of go through and say, what of this needs to be assimilated into my work? What do I need to change? What needs to be added to my soup of presenting to make my message timely, relevant, and meaningful, and occasionally have to revisit things that might question the dogma that we've been so in bed with, you know.
Yeah.
This is what we've always believed in, and the research even supports it. But now the research is also indicating, and you're like, whoa, wow. Yeah, wow. I might have to.
So they kind of keep doing more research.
Back, yeah, which is good. And as a research geek, one of the things I make myself do is read the studies of the topics that I don't. You read them with one eye closed because you're worried that they might disprove what you've been holding on to for 20 years. But I make sure that I do that because if nothing else, I at least want to have accurate data. I might be still struggling with my response to new data or how it assimilates or fits into my work. But if it's out there and if it's been duplicated and replicated, I at least need to be acknowledging the fact that there might be something that I've held true.
Yeah.
Actually, Brain Rules, John Medina talks about that, you know?
Yeah, just, we get kind of stuck in our...
Well, just that if it's been replicated numerous times, at some point I'm going to have to own the fact that this is probably accurate information.
Yeah.
So am I choosing to not assimilate it because it just undoes one of my truths?
Yeah, which can be very disconcerting to have that happen to
you.
And so the whole change thing, I mean, it's part of being a mindful professional is the willingness to step back and evaluate the situation on the ground and the available data and make mindful changes to our programs and our practices and our the way we interact with people and just the way we go about living our lives.
This would be a really good topic, I think, to have a couple people sitting around the table with, like kind of a very quick, focused, give me one thing that you've done that was a big change and what was the impact.
You know what I think this is going to be? I think this is going to be a session at UnCon where people can sit down and talk about change and the process and their experiences and that kind
of
stuff.
What happened? What was the fallout? Yeah. Was there fallout?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or was it all in your head?
Yeah, and I think there might be margaritas involved. That's the way I'm seeing it.
I'm bringing my blender with
me. If you don't know about UnCon, check out the Bar and Grill Facebook page or check out the UnCon 2015 group on Facebook and come hang out with us in St. Louis in about 8 months. And other than that, it's time to end this episode. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Go find some positive change in your life.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.